Frobisher Bay, October 1985. Bert Rose liked to be the first to know everything that was going on in town, but this time it would be different. He remembers he was sitting in his living room after supper on October the 12th, enjoying a cup of coffee, when he got the phone call. His boss, Ken McCrory, regional director of the Government of the Northwest Territories for the Baffin region, was on the line telling him that Ed Horn had been arrested for child molestation and that police officers would be arriving any minute to serve Rose with a search warrant for the primary school in Apex, a village just a few kilometers south of Frobisher Bay, where Horn taught and also lived with his wife and their three small boys. Like many jurisdictions, the Northwest Territories did not have its own police force, and so the officers were members of the storied Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Two officers were soon at the Rose's door. Bert's wife, Joanne, heard their voices on the porch and came out to see what they wanted with her husband. She saw him scanning a search warrant related to Horn, his old friend. Thinking about that night years later, Joanne said that she had always considered Horn a strange man, but so were lots of people who came to the North to work. The Arctic was full of characters, people who were different from your average Canadian, or at least people who got different as each dark winter progressed. Horn definitely fit into that category in Joanne's mind. And it wasn't even winter yet. Whenever Horn visited the Roses for coffee, it was teacher talk between Bert and Ed. Often Horn would be abuzz about some new piece of technology he'd discovered, like the large disc music player he'd recently purchased. If you saw him on the street, sometimes he'd be wearing headphones and would just walk right past you, probably absorbed in a new language he was learning. Horn had been around the North for a long time, and because of his language skills, particularly the work he'd done promoting Inuktitut use in the classroom, was one of the most respected teachers in the territory. Now, he was charged with sexually assaulting boys. And there was more. The police told Rose that they had reason to believe there were commercially produced pornographic videotapes hidden in the school in Apex, specifically VHS tapes of Debbie Does Dallas and Deep Throat. Bert was stunned. As the officers headed out to their vehicle that October night, he stood on his porch for a moment, wondering, how could this be? Joanne was equally dismayed. I have a pretty good radar for people, she remembered thinking at the time. How could I have been so wrong? Shortly before Horn's arrest, Bert Rose, whose career in education had by then spanned 20 years, had accepted a substantial new position as superintendent of education for the Baffin region within the territorial government. The operation of schools was among his responsibilities. Rose had plenty of issues to worry about in several areas, including a crooked government employee, whom he later fired, who had formed an illegal partnership to run a catering service, which the employee, conveniently, was also responsible for supervising at the student residence connected to the high school. That was headache enough. The last person Rose thought would be causing trouble on his watch was the trusted Ed Horn. With the couple's two children, Tony and Tina, off playing quietly in their bedrooms, Bert looked calmly at Joanne, then threw a jacket on. No need for a parka since the temperature was just slightly below zero that night, and headed outside to his vehicle, following the police to Apex through gently falling snow. Apex had an edge-of-the-world feel to it as Rose's vehicle rumbled down the hill into the village that night. The great expanse of Frobisher Bay stretched dramatically out toward the Atlantic Ocean, the gloom of the gray sky offset by the color of the houses dotting the landscape. Nanook School had always been thought of as such a joyful place, the ideal small community school. It was one of the little Butler buildings, a pre-engineered metal structure popular in the North in the 1950s, in the community. It was historically significant as the first school built in Apex. But now, it was shrouded in intrigue as the police officers and Burt Rose pulled up in front. What could be at the school? Rose thought. Was Ed Horn, the North's star teacher, really a child molester? There were four classrooms in the school, plus a gym area, workrooms for teachers, and stock and supply rooms. Nanook also had false ceilings that the police searched extensively for evidence linking Horn to the child abuse they were investigating. The next stop was Horn's house, located almost next to the school. The house was one half of the old nursing station, another historic building that had been renovated into a duplex. Other officers had already arrested Horn and hauled him away to a police holding cell. Now a team of officers was combing through rooms in the house. When Rose walked in, he saw Jeannie, Horn's Inuit wife, sitting alone on the living room sofa. Rose knew at least one of the Horn's three boys was also in the house. Any attempt at conversation with Jeannie was awkward at the best of times. She was hampered by a serious hearing impairment and would generally communicate only in Inuktitut, a language Rose didn't speak. The sound of police pulling open drawers and sifting through them in the bedroom down the hall broke the chilly silence. Rose remembered thinking, I wonder what will happen to Jeannie and the boys. At the time, the couple's three children were all under the age of 7. In the end, no conversation took place. The strained silence dragged on until midnight, when police were finally ready to leave. Rose was eager to speak to Horn, even though it would be through the bars of a jail cell. With a subtle nod to Jeannie, he left with the officers and headed to RCMP headquarters, where Horn was being held for the night. A guard was standing next to a little wooden desk, almost like a teacher's small desk, when Rose entered the detachment. To the left, there was a steel door where the drunk tank was, a big 9x9 concrete room. Across a 3-foot space, there was a door on the left and a door on the right, and corridors that led to the cells. Each cell was separated from the adjoining one by a brick wall painted gray. Each cell had two metal bunks, each with a thin mattress. Horn was locked inside a cell. So we've got these bars between us, Rose recalled. There was no visitors area. It was very uncomfortable. Ed sat on the floor inside the cell, and I sat on the floor outside the cell. And without any prompting, he looked at me and said, "It's all true." Burt Rose has had years to reflect on the drama that unfolded once Horn's predations on children became known. More than once, he mused, "He was one of the greatest teachers I ever saw." He shook his head in disbelief when he remembered that just a few weeks before Horn was arrested, there had been a teachers' meeting about, among other things, sexual predation in the schools. Rose recalls Horn being there, taking it all in. That's how profound the betrayal was for me. Rose said. I just didn't see it. In October of 1985, Constable Brian Morrison of the RCMP filed the following report after the arrest of Edward Horn in Frobisher Bay. We are dealing with a sexual assault of young boys aged 8 to 14. At this point, there are 11 charges, and we expect more. We estimate, from the charges so far, there are between 100 and 200 assaults. We are not dealing with casual petting, although Mr. Horn would like us to believe this. He has done almost everything sexually possible with these boys. Anal intercourse, oral sex, mutual masturbation. Mr. Horn has apparently used his position to intimidate the boys, and the effects on some of them have been devastating. There are some indications he has been violent with the boys. Last year, he picked up a boy, squeezed him until he passed out, then threw him in a snowbank. He has forcefully undressed some of them. At this time, most people in the community are not aware of the degree or seriousness of the assault. This includes his wife.